I don't know if you grew up in a family that marked the heights of children as you were growing, but it's kind of neat to compare. But my question is, have you ever measured your spiritual growth from year to year? This being the last Sunday of the year, we wanted to take a look at the places we've been and a little bit of reflection of what happened during our 2024. We pray real hard that the messages that we bring will inspire you with teaching from God's Word and that our church family would grow as a result. And with that in mind, this was our first series of 2024.
Just to know you and to make you know we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. No, we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive.
And so in our first series of the year, we did a series out of Romans 12 about what it was going to take for our church family to thrive. And we learned that God wants us to present our lives as a living and holy sacrifice to Him. Yes, what we do on Sunday morning is worship, but Paul said the true way to worship Him is to present yourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice, not just for an hour on Sunday mornings, but every day. We learn the importance of the fact that we're a body and that we all belong to one another and we have responsibilities to one another. And part of that is that God has given each of us spiritual gifts that need to be used to serve one another. And when we conduct ourselves in this way that God designed, our church family can truly thrive. And then in our next series, we talked about reaching out into our community. Last several decades, statistics tell us that church attendance continues to decline. The pandemic exacerbated that problem, and a lot of people that were kind of on the fence about whether to go to church used that as an opportunity to jump ship, and they didn't come back. But we talked about the issue, why nobody wants to go to church anymore. We talked about what are the things that we need to do as a church family in order to reach out to people who aren't necessarily comfortable coming to church. And we talked about four acts of love that makes our church family irresistible. The first is genuine humility. And I love this about our restoration movement. We're not the only Christians, but we're Christians only. And so we have a humility that invites people to follow us as we follow Christ. And a part of that is that we sometimes in our churches miss a sense of divine anticipation. Sometimes people wake up on Sundays trying to decide whether or not to come to church. And we talked about in the Old Testament when the Israelites worshiped around the tabernacle, they came with a sense of anticipation that God was going to show up. And that happens when His people come together, and we need to have that sense of divine anticipation. We also talked about the need for radical hospitality, and that means in today's age, not just welcoming people who look and talk and act like us, but there are many people in our community who don't look and talk and act like us, and when they come, we need to make them feel welcome too, just as the Lord would want. And the fourth act of love is having fearless conversation. The ability to talk about things that might be uncomfortable, but are very important. And part of that is sharing the message of the gospel. So in our next series, we talked about how to have that fearless conversation with people about who Jesus is and what he's done. We called it Overflow. And in this series, we talked about the way that we share our faith in Christ isn't about memorizing a tricky little thing to say when you knock on people's doors or things like that, but it's about a natural overflow that happens because of what God is doing in us. We use this example of this fountain, and we talked about the Holy Spirit is the source of that water, and your life is that top bowl. And as we are open to God's Spirit flowing into us through His Word and through the life that we live in the church family following Christ, it should naturally overflow into the next bowl, which is your family and friends. And then that should naturally overflow into what God can do in the community. And that can ultimately overflow into what God is doing in our world. And then we did our next series that took us into the summer. This sermon series called Knowing Jesus, we did a study of Paul's letter to the Colossians, and we learned a little bit about who Jesus is, that he is the visible image of the invisible God. He wasn't just a good man, he wasn't just a great teacher or a clever miracle worker, he was God in flesh. And everything that makes God God was present in Jesus. He was somehow fully divine and fully human. And Paul spent the rest of this letter talking about the importance of knowing Jesus, because knowing Jesus leads to a new life in Jesus, which leads to living for Jesus. And that is all powered from the overflow of what the Spirit of God is doing in our lives. But then we talked about how in this world life can get pretty busy, and sometimes we can get distracted. And that led us to our next sermon series.
Speak.
And in this series, we talked about the importance of striking that balance between being still and knowing He is God and seeking that relationship with Him that is going to fill us and allow us to overflow with our challenge of reaching out to other people. But it's got to start with that time of being still and knowing He's God. And then for our fall series, we had an extended series in a message called Set Free, and we learned what the Bible says about grace.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
And in the book of Romans, Paul challenges us with this image of how sin has taken us captive and we become slaves of whatever it is that we're doing that's against the ways of God. But He set us free, and He did it by His grace. And throughout that series, we learned the important message that we are saved by grace through faith in baptism for good works. And after God has given so much, we then turned our attention to not being too caught up in the things of this world. Talked about we live in the wealthiest country in the world, and it's so easy to get captivated by the things that this world offers. We do live in the land of more, and many of us have way too much. And so we talked about the importance of honoring God with all the blessings that He's given us and not being taken captive by the things of this world. One of the lines that we use throughout this series in my challenge to you is, it's kind of like Jesus is saying this, look, I know your heart is going to follow your stuff, and I just don't want to compete with that. I want your heart, and since your heart tends to follow your stuff, then I want you to surrender all your stuff to me. I don't want your money, and I don't want your stuff. In fact, I don't really need anything you have. All I want is your heart. And if He has our heart, He's got all that He wants, and we can serve Him well. And then as we came to the season of Christmas, it's always a challenge as a preacher to tell the greatest story that everybody already knows in a little bit of a different way. So this year, we decided to take a look at Christmas through the eyes of the prophets. When we think about Christmas, we have to look back in history, but God gave them special knowledge to look forward in history, and so they had a question for us. Do you see what I see? In this series, we saw that prophecy has two parts. Sometimes there is a foretelling where God speaks into the current circumstances of the time, calling people to repent. And sometimes God does what's called foretelling, where He reveals future events. And so we looked at four different messages on prophets that were given this supernatural vision. We talked about Isaiah, who was told about the sign that would come of a virgin who would conceive. He talked about people who live in darkness would see a great light. We talked about Jeremiah, who prophesied that this king, this Messiah, would come from the line of David. And he also foretold there would be great weeping in Ramah when he foresaw the killing of the innocents. We learned that Micah was given the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but all the people of the day missed it. They weren't looking. And then after Jesus was born, we were told about the foretelling of Simeon and Anna that rejoiced in the birth of the newborn king. So we had quite a journey in 2024, didn't we? It was exciting stuff, it was good stuff, and I hope it encouraged and challenged you in your walk with the Lord. But now is the time to say, Happy New Year! Can you believe 2025 is going to turn the page this week? So as we think about what's going to happen next year, let's talk a little bit about our direction for this new year. And as we do that, it's always good to take a look at some compass scriptures in our Bibles to help us remember what our goal is. And I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, this is on page 960. This was Paul writing to the young man Timothy who was serving at the church in Ephesus. Paul had spent 3 years in Ephesus building that church, growing that church, and when he moved on to plant other churches, he left young Timothy there to lead the ministry. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, look what Paul says. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now, teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. So we see here, Paul is telling Timothy the game plan. I taught you, and now you need to teach others who are trustworthy people. Why? So they can pass it on to others. And you know, if the people back in the first century didn't do this, our church wouldn't even be here today. The message would have stopped with just those original leaders of the early church. But they did find other people who were trustworthy and who were willing to learn and be able to pass that teaching along. And this kind of coincides with our next text, which is just a little later in the chapter, in verse 15. He says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. So here Paul says, it's important that you put some effort into this. You need to work hard and show yourself approved unto God. Why? So you don't need to be ashamed, and so you can correctly explain the word of truth. What did Paul mean by being ashamed? It might be from that little song that maybe you heard in Sunday school. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And if you're letting it shine, you're proud of it. And you're gonna share it with other people. But there's another verse in that song. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Why would somebody hide that bright light under a bushel? Maybe they're ashamed of it. Or maybe the other part is, maybe they don't know how to explain it in case somebody asks them. Paul already told Timothy in his first letter, chapter 3, 15, always be ready to explain the hope that you have, but to do it with gentleness and respect. But you may be surprised there's a lot of people who have attended church for years, but don't know how to explain it. And so one of the things that we want to do here as a body of Christ is to not only learn what God's Word says, but also be able to share it. But as we learned about in the Overflow series, it's got to start with your intentional study of God's Word and following Him. And so as a church family, we give you many opportunities to do that. So what are some of those things I'm talking about? Well, one which you've heard some of our guys share when they come up to do prayer or communion is our adult Bible fellowship. If you were here this morning and didn't recognize the words ABF that were used, that's what it means, adult Bible fellowship. And we have been doing something over the past 2.5 years, I think, that has been very different than the way most of us have studied the Bible before, but we're all reading one chapter a week. And we read it every day if possible, but several times during the week, and we follow what's called the ABCD Bible study method. And I love it because it's cooperative learning. But we read that one chapter and just soak in it for the week. We marinate in it. And at the end of the week, we write down four things, which is what the ABCD stands for. The A stands for, what's this chapter about? And we just write down a little summary of the content. The B stands for, what's the best verse? What verse either shared that concept of the chapter or personally spoke to you? The C is, what is the challenge or the application for me? What is God calling me to do? And then the D is, was there anything difficult for me to understand? And then on Sundays when we get together, instead of listening to what a teacher studied all week, instead, we're cooperatively sharing what God has been teaching us all week. And I think if you ask any of those that are attending, you'll hear what a blessing it is to grow in this way. But if you've never participated in ABF, maybe that's a way to step up your growth this year. This week, if you'd like to join us, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to be reading chapter 3. If you'd like an outline of the study, you can see me afterwards, or I know we've got some in the drawer in the desk out front, and you can pick one of those up. Another thing that we do for people that are newer coming into the church family is we have what we call the iChurch Workshop. And this is just to get everybody on the same page. And I think most of you have had an opportunity to go through this. If you never have, we'll offer it again sometime after the first of the year. And we talk about church history and who we are as the restoration movement and how we fit into the body of Christ. We talk a little bit about what we believe and about the nature of the church being the body of Christ. Another thing is we have our discipleship training. This is a series of 10 sessions where we sit down in extremely small groups, sometimes one-on-one, but definitely just around a table. And we learn the basics of the Christian faith, not only so we can have a good understanding ourselves, but to equip us to be able to share our faith with other people. We have 4 people that are going through discipleship training right now, and boy, is it a blessing. If you've never gone through the discipleship training and would like to, you can see me after service, and we'll be glad to help you sign up to go through that. These are all spiritual growth opportunities, but in terms of reaching out in our community, we've been doing some things with community engagement. And we've got 3 things that I just wanted to highlight. We have been doing the mobile food pantry with the Interparish Ministry. They arrange for a truck from Cincinnati Food Bank to come out, and many of you have volunteered to help package the food and to place it in people's cars. And sometimes we have between 100 to 150 cars lined up waiting to get through our parking lot. So while we're hoping to share some food with people, there is a food that most of them don't know about that we want to offer too. And so we pray that once they have an initial experience receiving physical food at the church, that maybe that might lead to, why are you doing this and what's going on at this church? Something that was new that happened at the end of the summer and into the fall is our village council was wanting to start having some community events centered around a movie night. And we've done 3 of them so far. The first night, it was in the summertime and it rained. And one of the council members said, could we meet and show this movie in your church basement? It's too wet outside. And I said, absolutely not. And he said, why not? And I said, because all of our audiovisual stuff is upstairs in the worship center where we will be much more comfortable. And so we have been doing those things right where you're sitting. And so we hope that that might be another way to get people comfortable coming inside the church. with the Hamersville Community Action Team. We did another children's Christmas program that was the best attended of any of the HCAT events that we've ever done. We had an amazing blacklight puppet show, and it was a really good thing. And again, it gave an opportunity for the kids to come and make crafts, see this program, have a visit with Santa. It was, again, a good way to have some community engagement. We're still praying and hoping that that will lead to, as we have these interactions in our community with people starting to want to know more about the Lord and His church. So when you are here to help with those events, that certainly helps communicate our love for the community. So we anticipate doing more of these things this year. We'll put it in the announcements and let you know. I also wanted to let you know about where we're going this year. And so on January 12th, we are going to start a brand new sermon series. And I want to just set it up for you in this way. Many of you have expressed concern over the last few years about our country in the way that more and more people are not following God, and we're living in a culture that more and more does not seek Him. And so we're going to take a look at an Old Testament Bible book in which there were four young men who were thrust into such a culture. I'm going to call this series Walking Tall in Babylon. I borrowed this title from a book that I read a few years ago, but this is going to be a study of the book of Daniel. And here were four Jewish young men who were pulled away from their homes, thrust into a culture that did not honor God, and yet they kept their faith. And the lady that wrote this book, Walking Tall in Babylon, had a very interesting premise for her book. She said, "We hear all about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but we don't hear the backstory of the parents of those young men." And her question was, what did those parents do with those young men when they were growing up so that when they got hauled away to a foreign land that worshiped other gods, that they kept their faith? And I think that's a really good question, especially as we are finding ourselves in a culture that is drifting from its moorings of a Judeo-Christian ethic. And so, starting on January 12th, we'll start this new series, Walking Tall in Babylon. If you're familiar with the book of Daniel, there's 12 chapters. The first half is pretty much narrative stories about events that happened in the life of Daniel and his friends. The last six chapters are prophecy. And so I hope you will be excited about this series. I hope you will plan to be here and make it a period of growth in your life during 2025. But I want to wrap up this time of reflection and direction with a challenge. And I want to ask you this. How much are you going to grow this year in 2025? It's up to you. It's a choice that you make. And I'll take you back to what Paul said to Timothy. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly explains the word of truth. How much are you going to grow in 2025? It's all up to you. And as a part of that challenge, I want to remind you about a sign that you see hanging up, this idea of each one, bring one. Let me remind you what that's about. Jesus gave His disciples what we call the Great Commission before He ascended to heaven. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And sometimes when we read that commission, we get overwhelmed. How can I go and preach to the whole world? And because we get overwhelmed, we don't even try. So as an additional challenge for you this year, I want to ask you this question. What if your prayer to God was, God, help me bring one person to know Jesus in 2025. You know, we don't read anything about sermons that Andrew preached. We don't read any flowery prayers in Scripture that he prayed. But one thing we see about Andrew, he's constantly bringing people to Jesus. What could you do this next year to be more like Andrew? And what if your prayer was, Lord, I may not be able to bring the whole world, but help me bring one. Might be somebody in your family that doesn't yet know Jesus. It might be a friend. It might be somebody you don't even know. But if we don't pray for things like this, God can't answer those prayers. And that's a prayer he'll answer. So I want to encourage you, as the calendar flips, let's make that the prayer of our hearts. Lord, I might not be able to win the world, but help me bring one person to faith in Christ this year. But I want to encourage you to pray with me as we wrap up our time together this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for all that you did in our church family in 2024. We thank you for the ways that you helped us grow. You helped us learn about being living sacrifices and how to serve one another with the spiritual gifts that you've given to us. Father, we've learned about how to reach out in our community. We've learned about the importance of seeking our relationship with you first so that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can just flow through us into our other relationships. Lord, we just pray that as we've learned so many helpful things this year, and particularly about the grace that you used to save us, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, and as we are wrapping up the celebration of his birth and look to this new year, Lord, I pray that you'll help us make goals for how we can grow spiritually this year, how we can up our serve. And Father, I pray that as we begin to open the pages of the book of Daniel, that we will be inspired by young men who had a serious faith in you, God, and they lived it out, even if it was at great cost. Help us catch that vision of being people who have been called to pass that message along. And Father, thank you for the things that you've given us to learn, and our adult Bible fellowship, our iChurch workshop, and our discipleship training. And we thank you for the fruit that is coming from these things. Lord, we want to be the people, like Paul says, who are the trustworthy people who will learn the teachings of your word and be able to pass them on. Help us, Lord, as we seek you each day to put you first so that everything else will flow from there. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response?
All the things that I've held dear, the vanities that whispered in my ear, what would I do if they all disappeared? Riches and fame and all that they could buy, I've come to find they never satisfy. What would I gain if my soul's the prize? I don't wanna love what the world loves, I don't wanna chase what the world does. I only want you, I only want you. First things first, I seek your will, not my own. Surrender all my wants to you. Keep the first thing first, to live your truth, walk your ways, set my eyes. Lord, I fix my face on you. All my desires reverse. Keep the first thing.